Jesus, this temptation, this testing continues today with the devil's offer to rule the world. I feel it necessary to remind you that the devil has been understood as a variety of things, from an actual person to a voice of temptation in Jesus' head to a force of darkness. But in this context, it doesn't necessarily matter who the devil is. More it matters what the devil is testing Jesus with. As I've told you in the last couple of weeks, the temptations Jesus endured are things that on the surface are not that bad for him. The last one, bread. Bread is not chocolate cake. It's a basic need for survival. The testing of the devil, what he is administrating then, is designed to see whether even the good things can lure Jesus away from his focus on God's will. Today, Jesus has moved from the mundane to the spectacular, from looking at stones to looking at the kingdoms of the world. The devil gets now to show off his divine ability by giving Jesus a sky view, transporting him. I wonder what Jesus saw. Do you? Did he see people suffering and dying? Nations at war? Did he see bloodshed? You see, I think he did. I don't think he just saw the gleaming monuments of power constructed by the Romans. I think the devil showed him exactly what he wanted to show him, which was what Jesus came to heal and to bring new life to: suffering and dying and war. I think that's the only way the devil could have enticed Jesus, to show the people's pain and to tempt him perhaps with an easier way to end it. In Jesus' day, the known world was ruled by the heavy-handed Roman Empire. All the administrative and economic and military might was concentrated in the hands of those who sought power for its own end. People were persecuted, forced from their lands, enslaved, all for the sake of Pax Romana, Roman peace. Ironic, isn't it? So it's in that context the devil offers Jesus the opportunity to rule with justice. It would have been an enticing offer. Surely a regime change can only be to the world's benefit. Think about it. Jesus knows that his life on earth will be marked by hardship, suffering, inevitable death, and added to that, in his own lifetime, he will be a rather obscure person in his own lifetime. As I said 2 weeks ago, Jesus was more likely aware of his eventual victory, the resurrection, but he was also fully human. The devil offers him an opportunity to rule the world in a way that would show off who he really was. And this is no empty promise. In John chapter 12, verse 31, and 14, verse 30, and 16, verse 11, and Revelation 13, we are told the devil is the ruler of the world. Jesus even says it. The evidence is all around us that the ways of evil still rule in this world. So would Jesus' human desire to live a more comfortable life by exercising omnipotent political power entice him away from God's mission to suffer and die? In a recent interview, a presidential candidate said that the way to beat the other guy is to counter insult with insult, to, quote, play the game. He claimed that when he ascends to the highest office in the land, only then could he, quote, act presidential. It doesn't sound too unlike when Jesus walked the earth. The ends justify the means. Do what is necessary. Act deviously to grab power and influence, and then take on a more magnanimous, dignified, and righteous composure. What might that mean for us who have little political power in comparison? Do you and I use the ways of the world to our advantage without considering if it violates God's ways? Do we sometimes crave security, even power, so much that we rationalize away the means we get it? As Christians in the most powerful nation on earth, do we sometimes turn a blind eye to what our country does in the name of freedom and prosperity, compromising with the ways of darkness in effort to live in the light of our prosperity? I leave you that to wrestle with, those questions. As for me, I know I am guilty. In a prayer of confession we frequently use are these words: "We have sinned against you, O God, in thought, word, and deed, by the things we have done and the things we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart and mind and soul and strength." In essence, each of us confesses that by being saturated in the darkness of the world causes us to compromise and give our allegiance to the ways of the devil. Do we play the game? Do we act as though real power is achieved by giving ourselves over to the dark dealings of the world in hopes that we will somehow be able to bring about a more righteous future for ourselves, perhaps even our nation? Well, Jesus knows that the ends never justify the means. He, in essence, is being tempted to use the ways of the world to save the world, and he knows this is not possible. So he again quotes scripture from Deuteronomy: "Worship the Lord your God and serve only him." It's not then merely about righteous attitude. Serving God is the means by which we live. Jesus is saying that one's whole life must be aligned with God and his ways, including our public selves. Worshiping God is not merely a Sunday morning activity. It is an every moment impulse that should inform and affect everything we do. And what we do should ultimately function to serve God. Anything that contradicts what God has revealed in God's Word, guided by the Holy Spirit, must be rejected. The devil offers to give Jesus what he is due, but with a high price: his allegiance. But Jesus knows that the only way to break the cycle of darkness in the world is through his death, and real and lasting peace will come only in his resurrection light. The devil's power is one that he has been given. Well, who gave him that power? Well, the only possible answer is God. Now, we can debate long and hard about why this is and how this could be, but what is at stake here is that the devil is offering Jesus a cheap substitute for what he is rightly due. Back in chapter 1, verse 32 and 33 of Luke's gospel, Gabriel announces to Mary that she is carrying God's son, and he says this: "He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." The devil offered him earthly kingdoms that would perish. God offered him an everlasting kingdom, imperishable, for him to reign forever. Jesus rejects the offer of worldly comfort and security and power so that he can complete his mission, because he knows that everything the devil offers is ultimately found in God, and the enticement pales in comparison to what God has in store. How about you and I? How confident are we in the reality that no matter what the world offers in the form of power or security, no matter how successful we become or how great our achievements, nothing is of our own making. It is all God's doing. The Israelites would forget that. They'd come to worship their own achievements, give glory to themselves. How much do we trust that even the best things in this life don't compare to the endless worth of the one who made all things and who claims us for a more fulfilling purpose, to serve God, by serving God, finding that inner peace that surpasses all understanding, the kind of peace that Dick and Mickey talked about this morning? it may be that we need to recite those words of Jesus over and over to ourselves. Worship the Lord your God. Serve only Him. We may need to counter any temptation to do deals with the devil for our own gain by speaking the words from the heart. It may be that for some of us, we need to turn away from seeking glory so that we can seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and follow after the King of endless worth, Jesus Christ. Where are you today on this Lenten journey? How are you compromising with the things in the world? How are you giving yourselves over to the King of endless worth, who calls you along with Him to seek after God's glory, to live for Him, even when it's challenging, even when it's the hardest things to do? God gives you the strength. As Christ would experience in His own time in the desert, so we too in our personal wilderness, experiencing the strength that only God can give. God's power and glory are what we should be proclaiming and living out. Christ goes before us. So let us follow where He walks. All glory, praise, and honor be unto God through Jesus Christ, His Son. Amen.